Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior. He would gather us around Him often that we have salvation. Amen. Our text is the Gospel from Luke 13. Pray with me. Lord, Your Word is sharper than a double-edged sword. And may Your holy Word that we hear penetrate to our hearts to give us repentance and faith that we ever draw close to You. We pray in Your name, Jesus. Amen. Don't be a crybaby. When I was a little boy, I was told that sometimes by mom and dad and maybe a teacher. Don't be a crybaby. If you lose a Little League baseball game, don't be a crybaby. Everybody loses now and then. And if you get a mosquito bite, don't be a crybaby. Everybody gets a mosquito bite now and then. No big deal. If your brothers pick on you, don't be a crybaby. Just stand your ground. Deal with it. If mom makes liver and onions for supper, don't be a crybaby. Just eat what's set before you. Well, it's interesting to me that in the readings today, from Jeremiah, from Philippians, the words of Paul, inspired by the Spirit, and then the Gospel, we have three grown men who are crying. But we wouldn't call them crybabies. But they are crying for a very good reason, much more than a mosquito bite or losing a game. You have Jeremiah crying. He is preaching judgment on Jerusalem because of their idolatry, and the people are rushing at him. They want to kill him. He's called the weeping prophet, the crying prophet. And God does destroy Jerusalem back in that day. And the whole book of Lamentations, the book after Jeremiah, is the crying of Jeremiah over the judgment of God for this poor city. He cries over lost souls, over unrepentance and unbelief. It hurts him. He cries about it. St. Paul in the epistle says that with tears in his eyes, he's crying, a grown man again, crying with tears. He describes the ungodly. Their God is their belly. They won't listen. They won't believe. He cries over it. And then above all, you have Jesus. And he cries over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I long to gather you as a hen gathers her brood, but you will not. He's crying and weeping tears. Won't you repent and believe and stay close to me and come to me? It's my encouragement today that we learn to cry. We stoic, emotionless Lutherans, most of us, may we learn to cry. A big part of the Christian life is crying, and it fits into Lent very, very well. We are Christians living in an evil world. And we know there's evil all around us, and there's evil within us, because we are so sinful too. There's all sorts of atrocities in our world. And we're Christians living in it right now. What are we to do? When people stray, and 3 out of 4 in the world don't believe, they won't repent, and Christians across in some parts of the world are getting killed for this. And in America, we get our own persecution to a degree, ridicule, laughter, might lose our job, be put down. How are we to react? Well, we can crawl in a cave and hide. We can always do that. I'm just going to ignore the world. I'm going to crawl my own little hole and just let everybody be. That's not going to help anybody, and not you either. We can complain and complain and complain how bad the world is. It's so bad out there. That doesn't help anybody. We can condemn the world. Out there, they're all going to hell, and the sooner the better. And how's that loving it all? Our response as Christians living in an evil world, where we have many unbelievers, and the unbeliever may be in our own family. The unbeliever can be next door, a friend. The unbeliever sits next to us in our office. And then there's Knoxville in the United States and the world where they're all over. May we learn to cry over lost souls. That's our response. We cry over the lost. If we ever stop crying, we're done. That means we don't care. And let them all just go to hell. And that's not love. And that's not Jesus. That's not the church. Three things about crying today. First of all, may we, if you will, cry in pain over the lost. May it just break our heart that people don't believe in Jesus. May it consume us to a degree. I want my family member to believe. I want my neighbor to believe. I want my coworker to believe. I want the United States to believe, the whole world to believe. I want there to be repentance and faith. And it really hurts us in here in our hearts because we have such love and compassion in our hearts for the lost. This is Jesus. Jesus in the gospel is very tough. He's thick-skinned. He is told that Herod wants to kill him. And Jesus doesn't go crawl in a cave. Oh my, he's going to kill me. I need to go hide somewhere. Jesus says, go tell that fox I'll do my job. On the third day I'll finish my course. He's talking about the third day being Easter. I will die, but I will rise and I'll finish the job. He's thick-skinned. And so in this evil world, we are thick-skinned people. Things don't get to us. We do our job. We're Christians. But then notice how soft Jesus is too. How tender. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He's shedding tears. How I long to have you, but you're not willing. And so we are thick-skinned people. Don't let things bother you so much. Expect rejection. But we keep a soft heart. And as Jesus has passion and great, great love for the world, we are moved by his cross because we are loved, we love. Because we've been shown mercy, we show mercy. Because he's been so compassionate to me, I can't help. I'm moved, I'm compelled by the cross to have compassion. That's the church. And he's given me a new heart, a soft heart, a loving heart. And that heart breaks as people don't believe. We had a speaker here at our pastor's conference from Hope Ministry. They're a pregnancy center here in town that help women have their babies rather than have an abortion. And he was saying that part of their ministry is to get a woman to, and her husband, or whoever, if the man is there, to look at an ultrasound. Because if the gal sees an ultrasound of her baby and sees the eyes and sees the fingers and sees the toes and sees it's a real baby, there's a 90% chance she'll go ahead and have the baby. Because it's real. And I see. And so, my point, that's wonderful. May we love the human beings that are in the womb, yes. And may we love the human beings that are out of the womb. But for us here, we need to open our eyes and see. Our problem often is that we just don't care because we don't see. Because we're looking at ourselves so much and we're so selfish. Open your eyes and see the hurting people out there. See their needs, their hurts, their groans. Try to put yourself in their shoes rather than sit over them and judge them real quick. Live their life a little while with them and get to know them, their burdens and their griefs, and then be moved to reach out with love. This is the church. This is Jesus. Yeah, we actually cry some tears. You know, I had a man in the congregation a couple weeks ago said, Pastor, I cried. And I said, what did you cry about? Peyton Manning won his second Super Bowl. You pathetic human being. I didn't say that to him. But, and it's fine to cry over Peyton Manning winning his second Super Bowl. I don't care. But when am I going to shed tears over all the losers out there that haven't won anything, and they're outside salvation? Secondly, as we cry, may we cry in prayer. Yeah, we can have a good cry over the world, but we just don't sit and do nothing about it. Then we pray, we cry in prayer. And how we as Christians pray and pray and pray, not just for ourselves. Pray for yourself, but we pray for the lost world. We pray for that family member, that coworker. We pray for the United States. We pray for the world. We pray for our enemies. We pray for all of them that God would open their hearts and God would lead them to repentance. And God use me. And God use missionaries and pastors and teachers. God bless your church. But oh God, save the world. You want to save the world. Save the world, oh God. We're people of prayer. When's the last time you prayed for an unbeliever? You really prayed for him. And that God might even use you to be a witness. Or is it just all about us and what we think we need? Jesus in his final hours prayed a lot. He had every reason to think of himself, but he never does. In the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he do? He prayed. And he prayed so earnestly he sweat blood. And he didn't just pray for himself. I'm sure he prayed for strength for himself, certainly. But I'm sure he prayed for the whole world. He prayed for you and I. He prayed for his enemies. He prayed for Caiaphas. He prayed for Pontius Pilate. He prayed for the soldiers. Oh God, turn them. This is Jesus praying. At the cross he prays. His first words from the cross, what are they? Father, say them with me. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the prayer of the church. This is our response to an evil world. Father, forgive and forgive and move me to be forgiving and save all these dear people because your blood covers them too. This is how we treat the world. We pray and pray and pray. And Jesus at the Father's right hand right now isn't taking a nap. Christ intercedes for us at the right hand. He prays for us and he prays for the world. He's still praying. Father, deliver them. Save them. May the gospel go out to the ends of the earth. Oh, Father, make it happen. This is the church. I saw in my Reader's Digest supposedly the happiest photo ever taken. And it was taken back in 1950, a photo. And it is of a drum major from the University of Michigan band. And this drum major is marching in a field, smiling, kicking his knees up. And you have a group of about 7 or 8 little children, probably 7, 8 years old, who are behind him. And they're trying to march with their legs and hands up, but they're smiling and giggling as they march behind the drum major. Called the happiest photo ever taken. I guess President Clinton wanted this in the White House to make him happy. And that's not the world, though. We do have a drum major, if you will, a leader, and he is marching. He's marching to a cross in Luke 13. He is marching. No one's going to stop me from the cross. We have a leader who hangs on a cross, and we are behind him, but we don't giggle and laugh so much. There's a time for certainly joy, but we're not giggling and laughing our way through life. No, here on this earth, we bear the cross. We're more on our knees in fervent prayer and in submission as a servant to my neighbor. That's the church. We'll giggle and laugh in heaven all along, but now it's time to work. And last of all, may we cry with pleading to the world that they would repent. So we can shed real tears and have heartache. This is where it starts, the new heart that God gave us in Christ. And then we pray earnestly, but we don't stop there. Then we plead. We cry out to our neighbor. We cry to that family member, maybe someone you know. I'm sure we all know them. And we plead and cry and love, dear friend, repent. I love you, dear friend. God loves you. But I'm worried about you. Repent. Come back to Jesus. Your little chick, come under his wings. Come under the cross. Be forgiven. I'm a sinner with you, brother or sister. I don't think I'm better than you. I'm not. I'm a sinner too. But I trust in the blood of Jesus. May you trust in the blood of Jesus. Come confess your sins. Come hear the gospel. Come know you're forgiven through the blood of Jesus. Come be baptized and bring the children. Come take confirmation class. Be confirmed and take the body and blood. Come on, come to Jesus and stay close. So we cry and we plead and we beg and we never stop crying and pleading and begging to the world. We're John the Baptist, the voice crying in the wilderness, repent. We're crying in the wilderness, repent, world. Come to Christ. And we speak of him, though we might be treated like Jeremiah, and they rush at us and say, you deserve to die for the words you've spoken. May we learn to cry. I learned on eBay. A handwritten letter was sold on eBay that went for $3 million. You know who wrote that letter? Albert Einstein. Thank God for Albert Einstein. But really, a handwritten letter by Albert Einstein sold for $3 million? That's kind of strange. We can tell the world someone great has written a letter just for you. It's called the Bible. The creator of the heavens and earth wrote a letter just for you. It's called the Bible. It's a big, big book, and you won't understand everything at first. That's okay. We'll teach you. But the basic message is, God is saying, I love you. I died for your sins and made payment on the cross. I rose again on Easter to deliver you from death and from hell. I love you. I forgive you. I want you to be mine forever. And may we tell people about that letter that costs zero. Although I guess you got to pay a little bit to go buy a Bible, but we'll give you one for free. That is the word that we want to go out. The priceless word of God, and we are here to do it. Jesus is pleading with Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, come on. Come to me. And we plead, oh, Knoxville, Knoxville, oh, United States, United States, oh, world, come on, believe. And be saved. So we stoic, sometimes emotionless Germans and Lutherans need to learn it's okay to cry. Grown men, grown women, boys and girls cry over the lost world. May we cry and keep crying until we die and go into heaven where there are no more tears. But for now, we cry. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transforms all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess the nice